So beginning our study for today, it is November 27th, 2023. The time is 20:43 hours Eastern Standard Time. Ward Green with you again. I'm on a very late sleep schedule. I just actually woke up not long ago. Haven't had any food yet. And I'm taking vitamin C. Now I'm alternating where I'm only taking it every other day, though that just started a couple of days ago. I forgot to take it on one day, and then I forgot again yesterday. So maybe I'll alternate every second day for taking vitamin C. I'm not sure. But it's become clear to me that we need to look at, in the Bible, Exodus. Chapter 12, verse 16, where it says, on the first day of the Passover festival, it was not only what's called a festival, you know, or a holy convention, or convocation, but on the seventh day also there was to be a holy day or Sabbath. And the key was, in this verse, no work could be done on those days. So what we said in the article rings true, completely true. That they couldn't have been working on the Passover day preparing spices. The disciples of Jesus. So that was not a possibility. And that's why the article was so correct. Now maybe I'll have to make another footnote about that, perhaps, because I made a comment that it's possible, of course, we can see that Friday can be the day, Friday, April 7th, can in the year 30 CE, which is, we believe for other reasons also, is the year of the crucifixion. There are many reasons why we believe that the year of the crucifixion of Jesus was 30 CE. But it's possible that even if we just use the astronomical calculation of Cauchy, that Friday was Nisan 14 for the Sadducees and the Pharisees, and that's Friday, April 7th, and in that case, however, since it was the Passover only of the Sadducees, and since we don't believe Jesus' disciples were Pharisees anyway, but even if they'd been, well, yes, had they been Pharisees, then they would have been allowed to work on that day. That's true, on the Friday. So there is some leeway there, but if they'd been Pharisees, Jesus would not have been eating his Passover meal on Thursday night. So that, it doesn't work, you see, it doesn't work unless Jesus ate the Passover with the Essene calendar date in harmony with their celebration one day before the Sadducees, which is Thursday, and that's what we've, or yeah, or a Wednesday, depending, or sorry, well, he ate it on either a Tuesday or a Wednesday evening, and then, which was either the 5th or the 6th, no, the 4th or the 5th, either the 4th or the 5th, and then the 6th, that is in our Julian calendar, in the calendar we use, or used to use, which is the ancient calendar that we have for the dates of January, February, and so on, it's April 4th or 5th, and then, which is Wednesday or Thursday, one of which was the day on which Jesus was crucified. And then the Friday was, of course, the Sadducee. Either the Thursday or the Friday could have been the Sadducee Passover. And if the Sadducee Passover was the Thursday during this, you know, the daylight hours and the Wednesday evening, then Jesus must have been crucified on the Wednesday and ate the meal on Tuesday. And the Friday being the 7th, of course, the Thursday is the 6th, Wednesday's the 5th, and Tuesday's the 4th, so of April in that year, 30 CE. So it's all been written about here in the article, but I've done some work on the website too. The links that were broken, I've fixed them for some of the audio, the songs that were not playable. I don't know whether anybody's ever heard these songs, because I'm not sure when the links got broken, but the file names were not right. They were correct, but they had special symbols in them. And so, on the when you click on the JW box icon on willofjehovah.com, you were getting a list, but there were some files that were not linked properly. Now they are, I believe. So all of these videos and audios and JPEGs and all the, you know, PNG files, everything is linkable, I think, in PDF files. It's all accessible now, I believe, on the JW Box hyperlink directory. It is certainly interesting. Now we continue our study in this article, which is so true, Born and Raised, chapter 12, paragraph 9, that none of the available gospel accounts provides the calendar dates of such an important series of events as precede the crucifixion. If we had day of the week along with calendar date for even one day during the crucifixion week, the Jews used the Jewish calendar, so we would have had that calendar date if they gave it, and we would have had, hopefully along with it, if we had a day of the week, we certainly would be able to provide the year it occurred. Exactly. Or more, a lot more exactly than we're doing right now. This assumes only that the lunar orbit has not changed, other than by the gradual slowing rate of its orbit. The lunar phase, as seen by an observer on Earth, can be simulated using computer programs and adjusted by the use of known eclipses in history to calibrate timing. The slowing of the moon's orbit is taken into account. The reason for the lack of lunar calendar dates in the gospel accounts may be due to the complex situation, as we have described it above, with its sectarian issues. We have the Essenes, we have the Sadducees, the Pharisees. None of those issues are mentioned in the scriptures, not even the more obvious Sadducees and Pharisees issues, since it wasn't every year when the Essene Passover was so close in proximity to the Passover days of the Sadducees and Pharisees, which always were one after the other. But the Essenes were often quite different, because theirs was always dependent on the equinox being 13 days after the equinox. So theirs did not come close in any other year nearby to 30 CE. Only in 30 CE did this happen. The difficulty of telling the story from the viewpoint of each of the different sects may explain the reasons for the absence of specific lunar dates, or maybe not. It will be wise to keep this in mind in our discovery. In faith, we look for consistency of facts with theory. We're interested in the facts, and they have to be consistent with what we believe the facts should be, according to theory, right? If we have a theory. Is there evidence of a Wednesday crucifixion in 30 CE? That's the question we're going to be looking into. And it looks like there is very good evidence, because we know, now that I've shown Exodus 12 and 16, they couldn't work on a Passover day. It was just like a Saturday, even though it fell on a Friday. Or in the case which we're presenting, on a Thursday. In the main case that we present. Okay. It was April 6th on which Jesus was it on the Wednesday? Let me think. Yeah, no, it was on the Wednesday when he was crucified, on the 5th. And the 6th was the Passover day on which they couldn't work. So his disciples celebrated a different Passover from the one the majority of his disciples, that is, from the one which Jesus and his 12 apostles celebrated. So that's all for Born and Raised for today. We've covered a lot of ground there, I believe. Now, for today's proverb, little ones, Ecclesiastes 8 and 6, for there exists a time and judgment even for every affair, because the calamity of mankind is abundant upon them. So we do need Jesus to be celebrating Passover on the Essene day of Passover in the year 30 CE in order for the scriptures to be consistent with the events. And so it's very exciting about that particular thing. That means that the article Born and Raised is very significant in religious history and documentation. 1 Samuel chapter 27 is on our list of things to read today. However, David said in his heart, "Now I shall be swept away one day by Saul's hand. There is nothing better for me than that I should escape without fail to the land of the Philistines, and Saul must despair of me in looking for me any longer in all the territory of Israel, and I shall certainly escape from his hand." So David rose up, and he and 600 men that were with him passed over to Achish, the son of Maok, the king of Gath. And David continued to dwell with Achish in Gath, he and his men, each one with his household, David and his two wives, Ahinoam, the Jezreelites, and Abigail, Nabal's wife, the Carmelites. In time, report was made to Saul that David had run away to Gath, and so he did not go looking for him still another time. Then David said to Gath, and first of all, let's go back to something here. I want to show you something very interesting in the account, the commentary of 1 Samuel. If we want to understand this, in 1 Samuel 22 and 8, Saul was complaining about his own people, saying, "For you have conspired, all of you, against me, and there is no one disclosing it to my ear when my own son concludes a covenant with the son of Jesse." So what Saul was, the whole argument, and just to finish this, we need to finish reading this, "And there is no one of you having sympathy for me and disclosing it to my ear, that my own son has raised up my own servant against me as a liar in ambush, the way it is this day." So Saul thought, when David went off hiding, that David was lying in ambush. David was just running away from Saul because Saul was trying to kill him. But from Saul's viewpoint, incredibly, David was lying in ambush to attack Saul. That was the way Saul looked at it. Saul thought that David was a liar in ambush. David was just trying to run away and hide to keep from being killed. Then David said to Achish, "If now I have found favor in your eyes, let them give me a place in one of the cities of the countryside that I may dwell there. For why should your servant dwell in the royal city with you?" Accordingly, Achish gave him Ziklag on that day. That is why Ziklag has come to belong to the kings of Judah down to this day. And the number of the days that David dwelt in the countryside of the Philistines came to be 1 year and 4 months. So we know this is the only chronological information, actually. But we know this, at least, of the last days of Saul in his kingship, that David dwelt for 1 year and 4 months, that at least that much time passed, and probably more, during which Saul was chasing David. And verse 8, "And David proceeded to go up with his men, that they might raid the Geshurites and the Gerzites and the Amalekites, for they were inhabiting the land that extended from Telem as far as Shur and down to the land of Egypt. And David struck the land, but he preserved neither man nor woman alive. And he took flocks and herds and asses and camels and garments, after which he returned and came to Achish. Then Achish said, 'Where did you men make a raid today?' To this David said, 'Upon the south of Judah, and upon the south of the Jerahmeelites, and upon the south of the Kenites.' As for man and woman, David was not preserving any alive to bring them to Gath, saying that they may not tell on us, that they may not tell on us, saying, this is the way David did. They used to call that a tattletale, someone who told on you. And this way has been his procedure all the days that he dwelt in the countryside of the Philistines. Consequently, Achish believed David, saying to himself, he has unquestionably become a stench among his own people, Israel, and he will have to become my servant to time indefinite. Okay, so Achish thought David was unloved by his own people, by the Israelites, but David was, of course, very beloved by the Israelites, and he became king not long after this, following the death of Saul. And now Jeremiah chapter 31, which is such a powerful and important chapter in the Bible. Clark includes a quote in his commentary on this chapter. It's a very long quote from a person called Dr. Blaney, who talks about the prophecies of the Bible, and mainly about this one. Which announces the future restoration of Israel to their own land and the complete reestablishment of both their civil and religious constitution in the latter days, meaning the times of the gospel dispensation. In other words, the Messiah would arrive and restore Israel. That was the idea. But of course, we know Jesus did not restore Israel. That was not his purpose. Not to restore physical Israel, but spiritual Israel. Yes. And there's quite a lot to read there about what Mr. Blaney said. But it was to do with David. It's the name of David that this was to have to do with. And, of course, we mentioned in our article already that they did have some restoration during the time of they were dependent on the Persian monarchy when they returned from Babylon. Then they were dependent on the Grecian monarchy, the Greeks. Then under the Asmonean princes, or the Hasmoneans, they had an independent government we saw, but not without assistance. But also, he says here, notably, they did not have a connection to the name of David. So they were not from David's tribe. So that was not a true restoration either. Very important point that he makes. At that time, Jeremiah 31, is the utterance of Jehovah, I shall become God to all the families of Israel, and as for them, they will become my people. This is what Jehovah has said. The people made up of survivors from the sword found favor in the wilderness. When Israel was walking to get his repose, from far away, Jehovah himself appeared to me, saying, and with a love to time indefinite, I have loved you. That is why I have drawn you with loving kindness. Yet shall I rebuild you? And you will actually be rebuilt, O Virgin of Israel. You will yet deck yourself with your tambourines and actually go forth in the dance of those who are laughing. You will yet plant vineyards in the mountains of Samaria. The planters will certainly plant and start to use them. For there exists a day when the lookouts in the mountainous region of Ephraim will actually call out, Rise up, O man, and let us go up to Zion to Jehovah our God. Very similar to Isaiah chapter 2. For this is what Jehovah has said, Cry out joyfully to Jacob, loudly to Jacob, with rejoicing, and cry shrilly at the head of nations. Publish it, give praise, and say, Save, O Jehovah, your people, the remnant of Israel. Here I am bringing them from the land of the north, and I will collect them together from the remotest parts of the earth. I can't decide whether to read slow or fast. That's what happens when I can't decide. Among them will be the blind and the lame, the pregnant woman and the one giving birth, all together. As a great congregation they will return here. With weeping they will come, and with their entreaties for favor I shall bring them. I shall make them walk to torrent valleys of water in a right way, in which they will not be caused to stumble. For I have become to Israel a father. And as for Ephraim, he is my firstborn. Hear the word of Jehovah, you, O you nations, and tell it among the islands far away, and say, the one scattering Israel will himself collect him together. And he will certainly keep him as a shepherd does his drove. For Jehovah will actually redeem Jacob and reclaim him out of the hand of the one stronger than he is. And they will certainly come and cry out joyfully on the height of Zion and become radiant over the goodness of Jehovah, over the grain and over the new wine and over the oil and over the young ones of the flock and the cattle. And their soul will simply become, I want to add words to it. I want to say, you know, your soul will just become something like a well-watered garden, and no more will they languish again. I don't know why I'm getting words to add to it. Their soul will simply become like a well-watered garden, and no more will they languish again. At that time the virgin will rejoice in the dance, also the young men and the old men all together. And I will change their mourning into exultation, and I will comfort them and make them rejoice away from their grief. And I will saturate the soul of the priests with fatness, and with my goodness my own people will become satisfied, is the utterance of Jehovah. This is what Jehovah has said. In Ramah a voice is being heard, lamentation and bitter weeping. Rachel weeping over her sons. She has refused to be comforted over her sons because they are no more. Now for some reason, Mr. Blaney in this part of Jeremiah chapter 31 mentions, what's that? Which one is that? 15, verse 15. He says here, Rachel is represented as just risen from the grave. I don't get that, and don't quite get that sense of it from the verse there. Maybe we need to click on that and get the cross references. From the different versions here. King James, it's not much different. Rotherham, doesn't seem to be any different. So, but this is what Jehovah has said in verse 16, hold back your voice from weeping and your eyes from tears, for there exists a reward for your activity, for your activity. I can't talk for some reason. I think it's because I just woke up. For there exists a reward for your activity, is the utterance of Jehovah, and they will certainly return from the land of the enemy. And there exists a hope for your future, is the utterance of Jehovah, and the sons will certainly return to their own territory. I have positively heard Ephraim bemoaning himself, quote, you have corrected me that I may be corrected like a calf that has not been trained. Cause me to turn back, and I shall readily turn back, for you are Jehovah my God. For after my turning back I felt regret, and after my being led to know, I made a slap upon the thigh. I became ashamed, and I also felt humiliated, for I had carried the reproach of my youth. End quote. Is Ephraim a precious son to me? Is Ephraim a precious son to me, or a fondly treated child? For to the extent of my speaking against him, I shall without fail remember him further. That is why my intestines have become boisterous for him. By all means I shall have pity upon him, is the utterance of Jehovah. Set up road marks for yourself. Place signposts for yourself. Fix your heart upon the highway, the way that you will have to go. Come back, O Virgin of Israel. Come back to these cities of yours. How long will you turn this way and that, O unfaithful daughter? For Jehovah has created a new thing in the earth. A mere female will press around an able-bodied man. This is what Jehovah of armies, the God of Israel, has said. they will yet say this word in the land of Judah and in his cities, when I shall gather their captives. Quote, may Jehovah bless you, O righteous dwelling place, O holy mountain. The study Bible for verse 22 says, a woman will eagerly pursue a man. Verse 24, and in it, referring to the holy mountain, Judah and all his cities will certainly dwell all together, farmers and those who have set out with the drove, for I will saturate the tired soul, and every languishing soul I will fill. There's a lot of very pleasant ideas in this chapter of Jeremiah. At this thing I awoke and began to see, and as for my sleep, it had been pleasurable to me. Look, verse 27, there are days coming, is the utterance of Jehovah, and I will sow the house of Israel and the house of Judah with the seed of man and with the seed of domestic animal. I will sow the house of Israel and the house of Judah with the seed of man and with the seed of domestic animal. I can't pronounce the word and right now. And it must occur that just as I had kept alert toward them to uproot and to pull down and to tear down and to destroy and to do damage, or to, you could just say, and to damage, so I shall keep alert toward them to build up and to plant, is the utterance of Jehovah. In those days they will no more say, the fathers were the ones that ate the unripe grape, but it was the teeth of the sons that got set on edge. Very analogous and similar to Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 4, in verse 30 here. But it will be each one for his own error that one will die. Ezekiel 18 and 4. Any man eating the unripe grape, his will be the teeth that will be set on edge. Look, there are days coming, is the utterance of Jehovah, and I will conclude with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah a new covenant, not like the covenant that I concluded with their forefathers in the day of my taking hold of their hand to bring them forth out of the land of Egypt, which covenant of mine they themselves broke, although I myself had husbandly ownership of them, is the utterance of Jehovah. For this is the covenant that I shall conclude with the house of Israel after those days, is the utterance of Jehovah. I will put my law within them, and in their heart I shall write it. And I will become their God, and they themselves will become my people. And they will no more teach each one his companion, and each one his brother, saying, know Jehovah. For they will all of them know me, from the least one of them even to the greatest one of them, is the utterance of Jehovah. For I shall forgive their error, and their sin I shall remember no more. This is what Jehovah, the giver of the sun for light by day, the statutes of the moon and the stars for light by night, the one stirring up the sea and its waves, that its waves may become boisterous, the one whose name is Jehovah of armies, has said, if these regulations could be removed from before me, is the utterance of Jehovah, those who are the seed of Israel could likewise cease from proving to be a nation before me always. This is what Jehovah has said. If the heavens up above could be measured and the foundations of the earth below could be searched out, I myself also could reject the entire seed of Israel on account of all that they have done, is the utterance of Jehovah. Look, there are days coming, is the utterance of Jehovah, and the city will certainly be rebuilt. Verse 38, from the tower of Hananel to the corner gate, and the line for measurement will yet actually go forth straight ahead to the hill of Gareb. And it will certainly go around to Goa, and all the low plain of the carcasses and of the fatty ashes, and all the terraces as far as the torrent valley of Kidron, clear to the corner of the horse gate toward the sun rising, will be something holy to Jehovah. It will not be uprooted, neither will it be torn down any more to time indefinite. And if we look here, verse 40, all the low plain of the carcasses are mentioned there, and that is not a common expression in Jeremiah, so we refer back to 21:13. Here I am against you, O inhabitress of the low plain. He was pronouncing judgment against the low plain at that point, but we saw here just now in Jeremiah 31 that he says something good is going to happen to do with the low plain. It will be something holy to Jehovah. What a prophecy of Jeremiah chapter 31, the new covenant, so important for the Messiah to be prophesied there. Because without the prophecy, then how could the Messiah have come? Matthew chapter 5. When he saw the crowds, he went up into the mountain, and after he sat down, this is Jesus, his disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth and began teaching them, saying, happy are those conscious of their spiritual needs, since the kingdom of the heavens belongs to them. Happy are those who mourn, since they will be comforted. Happy are the mild-tempered ones, since they will inherit the earth. Happy are those hungering and thirsting for righteousness, since they will be filled. Happy are the merciful, since they will be shown mercy. Happy are the pure in heart, since they will see God. Happy are the peaceable, since they will be called sons of God. Happy are those who have been persecuted for righteousness' sake, since the kingdom of the heavens belongs to them. Happy are you people when people reproach you and persecute you and lyingly say every sort of wicked thing against you for my sake. Rejoice and leap for joy, since your reward is great in the heavens, for in that way they persecuted the prophets prior to you. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its strength, how will its saltness be restored? It is no longer usable for anything but to be thrown outside and to be trampled on by men. You are the light of the world. A city cannot be hid when situated upon a mountain. People light a lamp and set it, not under the measuring basket, but upon the lampstand, and it shines upon all those in the house. Likewise, let your light shine before men, that they may see your fine works and give glory to your Father who is in the heavens. Do not think I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I came not to destroy, but to fulfill. For truly I say to you that sooner would heaven and earth pass away than for one smallest letter, or one particle of a letter, to pass away from the law by any means, and not all things take place. Whoever therefore breaks one of these least commandments and teaches mankind to that effect, he will be called least in relation to the kingdom of the heavens. As for anyone who does them and teaches them, this one will be called great in relation to the kingdom of the heavens. For I say to you that if your righteousness does not abound more than that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter into the kingdom of the heavens. You heard that it was said to those of ancient times, you must not murder, but whoever commits a murder will be accountable to the court of justice. However, I say to you that everyone who continues wrathful with his brother will be accountable to the court of justice, but whoever addresses his brother with an unspeakable word of contempt will be accountable to the Supreme Court. Whereas whoever says, you despicable fool, will be liable to the fiery Gehenna. If then you are bringing your altar, or your gift to the altar, and you there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar and go away. First, make your peace with your brother, and then when you've come back, offer up your gift. Be about settling matters quickly with the one complaining against you at law while you are with him on the way there, that somehow the complainant may not turn you over to the judge and the judge to the court attendant, and you get thrown into prison. I say to you for a fact, you will certainly not come out from there until you have paid over the last coin of very little value. You heard that it was said you must not commit adultery, but I say to you that everyone that keeps on looking at a woman so as to have a passion for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If now that right eye of yours is making you stumble, tear it out and throw it away from you. For it is more beneficial to you for one of your members to be lost to you than for your whole body to be pitched into Gehenna. Also, if your right hand is making you stumble, cut it off and throw it away from you. For it is more beneficial to you for one of your members to be lost than for your whole body to land in Gehenna. Moreover, it was said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. However, I say to you that everyone divorcing his wife, except on account of fornication, makes her a subject for adultery. And whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you heard that it was said to those of ancient times, you must not swear without performing, but you must pay your vows to Jehovah. However, I say to you, do not swear at all, neither by heaven, because it is God's throne, nor by earth, because it is the footstool of his feet, nor by Jerusalem, because it is the city of the great king, nor by your head must you swear, because you cannot turn one hair white or black. maybe nowadays we can with the modern knowledge of nutrition, but not in those days. Just let your word yes mean yes and your no, no, for what is in excess of these is from the wicked one. That still applies today. You heard that it was said, eye for eye and tooth for tooth. However, I say to you, do not resist him that is wicked. But whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other also to him. And if a person wants to go to court with you and get possession of your inner garment, let your outer garment also go to him. And if someone under authority impresses you into service for a mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one asking you, and do not turn away from one that wants to borrow from you without interest. You heard that it was said you must love your neighbor and hate your enemy. However, I say to you, continue to love your enemies and to pray for those persecuting you, that you may prove yourselves sons of your Father who is in the heavens, since he makes his sun rise upon wicked people and good, and makes it rain upon righteous people and unrighteous. For if you love those loving you, what reward do you have? Are not also the tax collectors doing the same thing? And if you greet your brothers only, what extraordinary thing are you doing? Are not also the people of the nations doing the same thing? You must accordingly be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. And that's the end of the first part of the Sermon on the Mount by Jesus in Matthew chapter 5. That's all for today's study. What was I going to say here? Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, the white and black. I mentioned that the hair is being turned white or black. Maybe we could do that these days if we get the right nutrition. It's hard to say. I would say that it is November 27th, 2023, and the time is 21:19 hours Eastern Standard Time. And I'm Ward Green, and I love you. And on my behalf, this is Crow, and this is Cassie. And they're saying bye for now.